I heard the bells on Christmas Day their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought as now this day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rung so long the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, good will to men.
These words by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill toward men. These words fulfill the essence of the Christmas message. These words proclaim the good news of the Christmas message, that we are called to be a people of peace on earth and goodwill towards all. We are called to be a people of peace and goodwill. A people that Paul spoke about in his letter to the Colossians today, when he wrote, "Let Christ rule in your heart." With Christ ruling in our midst, with Christ ruling in our hearts, there will be peace on earth, goodwill towards all men. And that's what we're going to look at today. What it means to have Christ ruling in our hearts. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day, so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. from Colossians chapter 3, Paul wrote, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. The words here in Greek evoke an incredible collection of thoughts and ideas, and I wanted to dwell on a few of those today. First of all, to clothe. The word to clothe means to put on, to wear, to don as a garment or as a robe or as a cloak, to place on yourself. That which is not normal to your body, that which is not natural to your skin, clothing, a tunic, a robe, a dress, a shirt. Put on yourself, clothe yourself, place on, don, put on your body. Wear. As the elect of God, those chosen by God, selected by God, to be His people, put on, and then the first word here, splachna. Wow, what a weird name. You got to spray it when you say this Greek word, splachna. You got to spray it. And it means entrails, guts, heart. The King James says bowels. That's always an interesting mental image there that the King James gives us. But it means the inner most being, the very center of your emotion and your existence, your heart, your soul. You know, when you get an incredible inner emotional response, either joy or fear, joy or sadness, you feel that knot appearing right about here, and it kind of moves itself up and down, and it feels like somebody's squeezing on the inside of your body. It's that. That's splachna. That's the location of the heart or the guts or the very center of your being. The heart of your compassion. It's the first word it's attached to. Actually, splachna is attached to compassion, to kindness, to humility, meekness, and patience here. Gentleness and patience. It depends on which translation you use, but the word ought to be attached to each one. So, for example, clothe yourselves with heartfelt compassion, heartfelt kindness, heartfelt humility, heartfelt meekness, and heartfelt patience. That's literally what this means from the Greek. No translation deals with it this way, but this is what it really means. Clothe yourself with heartfelt, splachna, compassion, splachna kindness, splachna humility, splachna meekness, and splachna patience. Clothe yourself, put on from the outside, receive from God this gift of a garment of heartfelt, interesting juxtaposition there, heartfelt compassion. The word compassion is an interesting one. Octrimu, compassion, internal, deep down inside, and not superficial, but active compassion. The compassion that drives you to reach out with a hand to touch someone who's hurting. The compassion that drives you to take a Christmas present of a simple toy to a child who will receive none. A compassion that comes from God and is deep felt and causes you to act. Not passive compassion where you sit there and go, oh, how sad. No, a compassion that is active, that causes you to act in compassion. And it's even more than that because it's splachna. It's deep down inside in the heart, in your guts, or as the King James says, in your bowels, compassion. Active from your center of being. And you've put this on, my friends, from God, from Jesus. put this on you, this heartfelt compassion, this heartfelt kindness. Krestotatya, which means literally passive, active, helping guidance, or helping love, or helping protection, or helping friendship. The image here is of, to make it modern, a Boy Scout coming up and taking an old lady's arm and helping her across the street. Remember that image from years ago? Oh my gosh, you'd never see it nowadays. That kind of kindness. And that's not just kindness of a warm heart towards someone else and compassion towards someone else. It's a heartfelt, splachna, kindness from the inside that then becomes active in acts of kindness towards others. Not passive kindness, active, heartfelt kindness. Doing something kind for someone else. I've used this illustration many times, the word kind and kindred. Have you ever gone to the hospital and they want you want to go in and see a patient and they ask you, are you next of kin? Kin being an old English term for relative. To be kind is to be kind to one another, to be as family to one another. You are to treat others as family. Heartfelt treatment of others as if family. That, my friends, is what is being spoken of here in this idea. Put on and have expressed from the very heart of your center of your being, from the splachna of your being, kindness, benevolence, a helping, active, not passive, kindness. Heartfelt humility, humble attitude, without arrogance, being subject to someone else. In other words, from the very center of your being, from the splachna of your life and center, be humble. Be subject to one another. Ooh, I don't like that one. I don't want to be subject to you, Jim. I want to lord it over you. You ever see the cartoon of the totem pole? And it's called the church totem pole. And it shows the pastor sitting on top of the totem pole. And then you see the administrative council chair, and the trustees chair, and the PPR chair, and the sexton, and the associate pastors underground, Jim, in the basement of the totem pole. No, not that attitude, friends. From the heart, from the very center of being, we are to have compassion, kindness, and humility. Be willing to be subject to one another. You're called to put on as the elect of God, and that's what we are. We are called to put on as a garment this set of attitudes. Heartfelt compassion, heartfelt kindness, heartfelt humility. Being willing to be subject to one another. Meekness or gentleness, depending on your translation, means the same thing. Talks about an attitude and behavior in contrast with harshness in one's dealings with others. Prautatya means gentleness. It means meekness. It means compassionate, kind, and humble action towards another. It's interesting how each word builds on the one prior to it. With compassion, you treat others as family. With humility, and now with gentleness, with meekness. The word here is a word that is used not of powerless people, but is a military word in the Greek, used of horses that have been tamed for service in an army. tamed to pull a chariot, tamed to be ridden. When Jim tries to break a horse, he got thrown, by the way, lately, hit his head. May have hurt the ground more than he hurt his head. Taming a horse does not destroy its power, does it? No. It brings that strength of that horse under the control of a master. Likewise, we are not robbed of power and strength when we receive as a garment heartfelt meekness and gentleness. No. We have our strength tamed, directed, guided for a purpose by the Master who gives us the garment of meekness and gentleness. And this is from the heart, from the splachna, from the very center of your existence, from your bowels and your guts and your innermost being. You have this sense of meekness, gentleness, that comes from God, directed strength from God. And finally, and the most difficult of them all, patience, endurance, a state of emotional calm in the face of provocation or misfortune and without complaint or irritation. In a number of languages, patience is expressed idiomatically. For example, to remain seated in one's heart, or to keep one's heart from jumping, or to have a waiting heart, are all idioms for patience. To keep one's heart from jumping, to be seated in one's heart. These are idioms in Aramaic languages for patience. And here Paul tells us that we are to put on as a garment, we are to put on and clothe ourselves with patience from the very splachna, the very heart of our existence. Patience with and for others. So, we start with compassion. Then we have kindness. Then humility. Then meekness or gentleness. Then patience or endurance. All coming from the centermost essence of our being, all coming from our heart, from our guts, from our bowels, from our splachna in the Greek, from our very center of being. We have these traits, these conditions, these attitudes. That's what they are. Attitudes of behavior. And each one of them is active. It's active compassion, active kindness, active humility, active meekness, active patience. That's a weird combination. Active patience. Patience that isn't just, oh, I wish I could be patient. Let's get going. No. It's patience where you really are patient. And my friends, I have a problem being patient. Standing in line at Toys R Us, or at Fry's Electronics, or at Dillard's during the Christmas season, it's hard to be patient. Heck, that's hard to do every day of the week when you go to the grocery store, standing over there at Brookshire's, behind someone with a basket full of groceries and food stamps, or whatever it is that they use. There's a wonderful story I was told about Jason in his honesty and his desire to stick to the rules. He learned the rules for checking people out over at Brookshire's who had the Lone Star card, which has taken the place of the food stamps. And one of the things, I hope the person isn't here, one of the things was if the item was opened, it could not be bought on the Lone Star card with food stamps. And this person was checking out with a whole lot of items, and Jason noted that one of the bottles of Coke was open, and she was drinking from it, from the six-pack of Coca-Colas. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't put this on the Lone Star card because one of the bottles has been open. And I'm going to tell you, that's honesty and that's sticking to the rules. But I can guarantee you that the people behind her probably were not very patient with what that resulted in, which was a lot of complaining. And I understand that they had to bring the manager over, and the manager had to say, "That's the rules. That's the rules. You cannot open and eat or drink from any of the items that you're buying until after they're bought. That's the rules." Jason's honesty is amazing. Jason's willingness to stick to the rules and his conservative character is amazing. Most of us would have ignored that for fear of making the people behind that person impatient and angry. I know I get impatient and angry when the computers go down, when things don't go the way they should. I get impatient and I get upset, and I'm not very kind, and I'm not very compassionate, and I'm certainly not very humble, and I am not gentle. Patience demands all of those, friends. Patience demands compassion. It demands treating each other as family. It demands a willingness to be humble. It demands a willingness to be meek and gentle. Patience calls for all of those items, all of those attitudes, all of those behaviors in action in our lives. And they can't just be superficial and fake on the outside for other people to see. They have to be splachna. They have to be from the inside. They have to be from the heart and from the guts. And as the King James says, from the bowels. They have to come from deep inside. And they come as a gift to God's elect, to God's chosen ones. They come, and we are called to put it on as a garment. And when we do, the peace of Christ, peace on earth, goodwill towards men, will rule our hearts. And we're called to bear with one another, he wrote, and forgive one another, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. Oh. That's where he went from preaching to meddling. Forgive? Forgive? Yeah. But I don't want to forgive. Sorry. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience demand forgiveness. Each of these attitudes cannot function in our lives. Christ cannot rule in our hearts and have peace on earth and goodwill towards men if we are unwilling to forgive. But I'd love holding this grudge against Jim. Sorry. Until I forgive, the peace of God will not rule in me. Until I forgive, Christ will not rule in my heart. I will not be compassionate. I will not be kind. I will not be meek. I will not be humble. I will not be patient until I'm willing to forgive. Forgiveness and compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience all must function together. Beyond all these things, Paul wrote, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. All of these items, all of these attitudes, all of these behaviors function from the power and the presence of God's love. Compassion, to be truly deep and internal, must be a gift of God's love. Kindness, to be deep and internal, must be a gift of God's love. Humility, meekness, patience, to be truly deep and internal, must be a gift of God's love. To forgive, one must recognize that they have been forgiven from the very love of God. That love of God that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, on this, the first Sunday after Christmas, when we proclaim that Christ our Lord is here, let these attitudes, these behaviors, the compassion of Christ, the kindness that God has us to have for each other, the humility, the meekness, the patience, the forgiveness, the love of God that we have been given to activate and to live all of these attitudes. Let these attitudes live through us in this season and in the entire coming year. We have a year ahead of us, my friends. The year 2004, a year of brightness, a year of prayer, a year of rejoicing, a year of the future, a year of going forward. It is a time to take all of these attitudes, all of these behaviors, the compassion of God, the kindness of God, the humility that God would have us live, the humility that Jesus showed when He stepped into the tent of flesh called Jesus of Nazareth and lived with us as a baby and as a youth and as an adult and as He died for us. And the patience that He had with us in coming to be with us. Let us take all of these gifts, all of these attitudes, all of these behaviors which come from God and we are called to put on as a garment. Let us take them and put them active in our lives in the year 2004. Let's make 2004 a new year, a year of active compassion from the heart. A year of active kindness from the heart. A year of active humility from the heart. A year of active gentleness from the heart. A year of active patience from the heart. A year of active forgiveness from the heart. A year of active love from God to our hearts. Let us make 2004 a year of new beginnings. A year of new journeys, a year of journeying with Christ. And indeed, Christ will richly dwell within us if only we will turn ourselves over to Him. My friends, as we close out 2003 and begin 2004, let us dedicate ourselves to allowing the love of God to fill us and transform us so that all of these behaviors might truly flow from our innermost being. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The Christian community. In our homes, yes, in the church, most definitely, and beyond the church walls with other churches in our community, absolutely. We participate in the life of the church through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. We participate in the life of the church by attendance at its worship, by partaking of the sacraments and the means of grace, by serving others through the life and means of the church itself. Through things like the bread basket, we participate in the life of the church. And in so doing, the engrafted word becomes deeper engrafted. And in so doing, the engrafted word becomes the done word, the word that